Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm the parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And today I'm joined by Father Charles Schonk, also a vicar of St. Patrick's, and Father John Chrysostom Kozlowski, a professor of canon law at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Let us start with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Today we want to talk about a phrase that's found in the act of contrition, the prayer that's said during confession, right before one receives absolution. And there's this phrase about avoiding near occasions of sin. And that's sounds like a big technical term, but what in the world do we mean by near occasion of sin? That's what we'd like to talk about today, because it's so essential to living the virtuous life of a Christian, is to avoid those near occasions of sin. And really, it's the heart of trying to overcome vice and sin in our lives.
Yeah, Father Boniface, I mean, it comes down very simply to do good, avoid evil. And this, yes, this is it. I mean, that's the life. And avoiding the near occasions of sin is part of that. I mean,
that's
if we're
right,
going to avoid evil, it means avoiding near occasions of sin.
Mm-hmm. And one way I like to look at it is what a near occasion of sin is. It's those moments in which we're tempted, and we're tempted in such a way that we almost go on autopilot, that you get you're in a certain situation, a situation where you find yourself constantly sinning, and you reach that point where all of a sudden you're going through the motions like 1,000 times before, and you know what you're doing, and you're going to sin. And near occasion of sin is finding that point right before the autopilot, or substantially before the autopilot kicks on, and pulling yourself out of that. And that's really where the fight against vice takes place, is preventing going on autopilot.
A lot of it is guarding what people often refer to as guarding your heart, you know, and that takes self-knowledge. You know, it takes reflecting on your experience and knowing when you that temptation is tugging on you, you know, and also, of course, what situations tend to engender that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good, the situations that engender that, because it's we're usually tempted in similar ways. And so when you're fighting against a certain vice, something that you confess over and over again, it's very useful to pay attention to what are the situations, the circumstances, the places, the thoughts, the moods that always bring on that specific temptation? Because in knowing those places in which we're weak, in which we will go on autopilot, and having that knowledge, it makes it easier to fight those temptations. It really arms us to start the spiritual fight against those vices in our lives.
Yeah, I think it's obviously, so part of this is preparing ahead of time for the near occasions of sin that are going to come into your life based on what you know about yourself. And I think to get to that point of being able to prepare requires a certain, requires us to be brutally honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do that, the examination of conscience, which so often is associated with preparing to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. But I think it's something that needs to be a part of our Christian life in general, our spiritual life. I'm not talking about a 35-minute examination of conscience every day where we go through the whole day. Just a couple of minutes. That'd be a long time, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I don't think I could do that every day. But just a couple of minutes where we reflect on how we did today in the Christian life. What did we do well? What could we build on? What didn't we do so well? And in examining our conscience, we can be brutally honest with ourselves about what situations cause us fall into these sins over and over again. We can be brutally honest with ourselves about what these occasions of sin are for us.
Mm-hmm.
And once we identify them, then we can do something about it.
That's
but
right.
This is part of the preparation, is that where we examine our conscience. And I like to say it, We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. We don't have to go tell everyone about what our near occasions of sin are, but we have to tell ourselves.
And the reason it works this way is there's underneath this idea of near occasion of sin is an understanding of virtue and vice and habits. So when we do something a lot, it becomes ingrained in our character. Like just for instance, someone learning a sport, say a baseball swing, you practice it over and over again, and it becomes something you don't have to think about. You can just do it because of all that training. Well, that works. That principle works throughout our lives. And so what we're facing with near occasions of sin are places where we've done it so frequently that it becomes something we don't think about, we just do, thus the autopilot. And so it's like if you remember those old vinyl records and there's the grooves carved into the wax and the needle runs along the grooves, if you put that needle in the same groove, it's going to play the same song every single time. And so what we have to do is be able to avoid putting the needle in that groove and going back to the same sin every time. So do you have any advice about how to do that?
I got a question first. Do you have any of these vinyl records?
I've seen and heard rumors of them.
You see, okay. Just fair enough. I thought I'd ask. That's all.
Well, Father Bonas, before we get to that question, one scripture passage that I often think of in this connection is when Jesus says, you know, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, he's using hyperbole there. But Father John talked about being brutally honest, you know, mm-hmm. We kid ourselves, you know, I can keep doing this and not fall into sin. You know, mm-hmm. There's this illusion that we have, that through a sheer act of the will, you know, I can bring myself to the very brink mm-hmm. and then not mm-hmm. fall, you know, and, it takes honesty and humility. You know, mm-hmm. a humility, yep. knowing our weakness, and realizing that we are not strong enough to get that near and not fall.
That's right. That's right. It's brute forcing it, just thinking that we can white knuckle our way through the spiritual life and handle everything is a sure way to lose. It's a sure way to keep doing what we've always done. And so we need to be strategic when we fight against vice and sin in our lives. We need to ask for God's help, of course, but when we face it, we need to be smart or else we're going to end up doing the same things over and over again. So when facing it, when you face this groove in the record, this vinyl record that mythically exists, so so what do you do? I mean, you've sat down. You've prayed about what it is brings you temptation, and you've identified some things. Now you're armed with knowledge. What's your next step?
Well, I think the next step is a question for yourself is, do you hate the sin? Mm-hmm. Do you hate the sin? Mm-hmm. Because we need to have a certain hatred for sin. Mm-hmm. One of the formulas for the act of contrition is detesting your sins. And I think that's important to cultivate that hatred of sin. Cultivating, I think that deepens the sense of conversion, deepens the sense of repentance. And also, I think it enables us, it gives us the strength, the willingness, it increases our desire to want to fight against that sin, to want to fight against this near occasion of sin that's, we're in the groove now. Okay, we got to get out of the groove eventually. Okay, so now we hate the sin. We hate the sin so much we want to get out of the groove that's leading us on autopilot toward this sin once again. And I think that's so important, and I'm not just making this up for the record. This, you know, one of the prayers, one of the novena prayers, one of the novena prayers associated with the miraculous metal novena, mm-hmm. Mentions this, that we pray for an increase of the hatred of sin. And so I think it starts there. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we hate this sin, we want to get out of, as you say, that groove. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's some situations, I think, Father Boniface, Father Charles, that we can't get out of.
That's right. I mean, so your best option is if you can get out, if you can avoid that situation, to just avoid it, to outflank it, to sidestep it. So for instance, if you run into problems when you wake up in the morning and you're half awake, half asleep in bed, well, get out of bed. That's an easy solution. But some are not so easy to avoid. So if it's a coworker that you just can't stand and always leads you to gossip, backbiting, anger, well, you can't just ignore a coworker, not usually. So what do you do? How do you handle it when you can't just avoid the situation entirely? Well, any advice on that?
Well, it's analogous, first of all, too. I can't avoid my Dominican brothers either.
Yes, sometimes our brothers are a near occasion of sin.
that's the reality. And so the question is, how can I approach this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to keep falling into the same sin. There's the hatred for the sin. I got to find a way to interact with this person I'm going to keep seeing at work. So with the help of God's grace, it's up to me to change. How am I going to encounter this situation? And first of all, it starts with sacrament of reconciliation, receiving God's mercy, mm-hmm. receiving the Eucharist, allowing Christ to reign in our hearts and souls, allowing the peace of Christ, which is not a peace that says, life's great, I don't have any problems right now, I get along with everyone. It's the peace that says, I'm not going to let this situation disturb me. I'm not going to let this situation continue to have dominion over my heart and soul. This particular individual, for whatever reason, I don't get along with. I don't understand it. I don't get along with this person. This person rubs me the wrong way. I'm not going to let that disturb me anymore. And so it's just, in a real way, it's a mindset, you know, and mm-hmm. knowing that ahead of time, this is how I'm going to approach this person today. Mm-hmm. I can't avoid him. He works in the cubicle. She works in the cubicle, you know, three doors down, whatever. I can't avoid this person, but I can approach this situation differently. That's what I can change. I can change how I approach him.
Right, right. I think another, you know, you got to break the pattern in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to break that habitual pattern in which you, whatever situation it is, ask yourself, what's the pattern? You know, what's the pattern? And then what can I do to disrupt it? You know, to get that train onto a different track, so to speak.
Or the needle in a different groove.
Exactly, right.
There's a lot of good advice there. The need for prayer, the need to have God's help through the grace of the sacrament of confession, through personal prayer, through altering our mindset to approach a situation with the faith and love of the Christian. And that's really important. Because it's only with God's help that we can make these changes. But it's also up to us to cooperate with that grace so we can enter in that trying to change how we approach that situation. So one example is, say, well, I spoke before about lying in bed in the morning. Well, at night, you can't force yourself to go to sleep. So what you could do instead of letting your mind wander, say, listen to a book on tape or do something different to keep your mind occupied. And that's really a good thing is controlling your own thoughts, being able to decide what is it I'm going to put my mind on and how am I going to think about this situation and make it a different kind of situation than it was before. You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio today by Father Charles Schonk, also a vicar at St. Patrick, and with Father John Chrysostom Kozlowski, a professor of canon law at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. We've been talking about how to deal with near occasions of sin, how to overcome vice in our life and grow towards the perfection the Christian is called to. And we've been talking about mixing up those situations that cause us to go on autopilot, changing our habits, changing our approach to things that always cause us to fall into sin. And this is so important in the spiritual life because the first step of the spiritual life is rooting out those things that take us away from the love of God. And so we need to be realistic when fighting these things. And so that means finding out those situations, those losing situations we consistently put ourselves into that cause us to come back to the confession saying the same things over and over. They don't magically disappear. Instead, God gives us the grace to overcome them, and we need strategies to cooperate with that grace in the moment and move towards virtue in our lives.
Yeah, I think creativity is important, you know, thinking outside the box. How can I change the situation? But then also, you know, I like what Father John said about ultimately it's an interior conversion, you know. We need these strategies. We need to be practical and smart about it. But ultimately, it's about cultivating a friendship with God, right? So that God, Christ, accompanies us throughout the day. And, you know, in our culture, habitual sexual sin is a big problem for most people. And there used to be a lot of kind of external social barriers in place that would keep people from doing things like watching pornography, right? But now those are no longer in place, right? Those social external barriers are no longer in place. And what's called for then is a deeper conversion, right? What used to keep people from those sins, shame, social shame, right, is no longer in place. So what's called for is a deeper conversion and really purity of heart, right? Guarding your heart. So I guess I just want to say that because it's not just a matter of coming up with strategies, right? Mm-hmm. It's ultimately an interior conversion brought about by prayer and a deeper friendship with God.
And that's really good because underneath this is you have to have a foundation of prayer, a friendship with Jesus Christ, because this is fighting against near occasions of sins is a part of the wider spiritual life. And if you don't have that foundation of seeking transformation in Jesus Christ, these fights really don't make any sense because you have to have that foundation of accepting God's grace to be able to cooperate with it in that moment of temptation.
Yeah, we can cultivate that relationship with Christ. We can kind of get the needle out of the groove. The vinyls aren't part of my heritage, Father Boniface. So I get the image here. I understand it. It takes me a while to get there. But there are things, you know, what could we, you know, we've brought it up. What could we do differently? And all these things. It's very important to, you know, this interior conversion, very important. How are we going to avoid these near occasions of sin? Well, we can think of some practical things that have already, you know, some have been brought up, but things, the placement of holy cards, the placement of a crucifix, the placement of a rosary. Father Charles mentioned habitual sexual sin being very prevalent in our culture. Placement of a holy card or a rosary near the computer to remind us of the presence of Christ. We're very much reminded of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He is present. He's really present. We're reminded of Christ's presence in the sacrament of reconciliation when the shower of mercy is poured upon us once again. But we need reminders outside of these very personal moments where we encounter Christ in the sacraments. Other things that can help us, works of charity, going outside of ourselves instead of these selfish habits we kind of cultivate, going outside of ourselves, finding works of charity. I'm sure your local parish has plenty of works of charity. Father, St. Patrick's,
We have plenty of opportunities at St. Patrick.
There you go. and another one, which I think gets lost sometimes, fasting. Fasting, so yes. Important in the spiritual life, especially when we're dealing with habitual sin, whatever it is. If we can control one passion, our hunger, if we can control that, we can begin to kind of get a little momentum going and controlling some other passions as well. I mean, these aren't catch-alls for everyone. These aren't magic. Father Boniface, you meant this isn't magic we're doing here, but these are things that can help us. You know, we're weak. We're human beings. Our nature is prone to fall. We need these things to help us, to kind of keep us oriented toward Christ so that when the near occasion of sin presents itself, we don't just fall back in the same track as before, but rather can do something a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another element is, it's easy when fighting a long-standing vice in your life to become discouraged. That if you've been doing something, committing a certain sin over and over again for many years or decades, it takes time for that to heal and turn into a virtue. And so don't become discouraged that you can't overnight change that. Well, of course not. That groove is so deep that it's going to take time to fill it in and replace it. And the evil one's going to seek to constantly discourage you, to say that you will never get over this. This will never change. So you want to change your mindset on that. You want to look for progress. Take the easy victories when you can, the low-lying fruit, and look to constantly do a little better each time you go to the confessional, to have a little bit less to confess. So you want to look to say, I'm moving in the right direction. I'm getting better, and I'm in this fight. And expect there to be times you fall off or you slip. The most important thing is to not become discouraged, but turn back to Jesus Christ and continue the struggle.
Yes, an important thing to keep in mind there is, as soon as you give in to despair, you'll become 10 times worse than you are. So, you know, sometimes just holding the line is something to be grateful for as an accomplishment.
No, certainly the discouragement is certainly one of the evil one's favorite tricks to play on us. I don't know if it's his favorite, but it's certainly one of his favorite tricks to play on us. Because if we're discouraged, we're not going to seek out reconciliation. We're not going to seek out mercy. We're discouraged. We can't change. God mm-hmm. can't change us. God can't help us. We just become discouraged, so which then keeps us away from God, which is what the evil one wants. So I do think it's one of his favorite tricks to play on us.
And another form discouragement will take is people will read these spiritual books and they'll see these great saints in deep prayer and they'll say, I don't have this deep prayer. I'm just fighting against basic vices in my life. Am I going to be stuck on the first level of the spiritual life, just fighting for basic virtue? Is this all there is in my Christian life? Well, it's important to see that these struggles against virtue are a part of that wider spiritual life, that the lessons that we learn in fighting virtues and the ability to trust in God, to be humble about ourselves, to always turn back to his grace and seek that as the basis of everything, those skills are what produce saints. And so God in his mercy will enter into that brokenness of our fight against sin and use it to produce holiness in us. So it's not as if we're just have our spiritual life on hold, waiting till we're done with this fight, but it's an integral part of how Christ is working to produce holiness in us.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one thing, Father John, you said struck me was fasting, you know, and to think about fasting also, not just fasting from food, but if there's something you're struggling with, to take a week or a day or a few days or 2 weeks or whatever is appropriate to the situation, you know. So, for example, if you're in a relationship, you know, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend and you find yourself falling into, you know, crossing the line with mm-hmm. your boyfriend or girlfriend, then take a break from physical affection, you know, for a while. No kissing, no touching for a week or two or a month, you know.
Or Facebook won't go out of business if you don't go there for a month.
There you go. Right. Exactly. You know, and this can help you. It kind of gives you a jump start, you know, and it can be a tremendously liberating thing. You know, when I get up in the morning, I don't go and check Facebook first thing, or I don't go and check my email first thing because I made the decision to put my computer in another room, you know. Mm-hmm. At least for a week or two, you know, and then you find yourself, oh, what do I do now? I get up and maybe I say a little prayer or in any case, your routine is disrupted and that gives you an opening, you know, it gives you a jump start.
And it's important if you suddenly have that opening, if say you're going to give up social media for a month, to have something to fill that time with, because mm-hmm. you don't want to just be sitting there like, normally, I would check Facebook. Now I'm just sitting in my chair staring at the wall.
Right.
Replace it with something else.
That's not progress. It doesn't sound like that's not progress.
So, you know, have a good hobby. Pray some more. You know, find something to do so that you don't just see giving up a vice as an absence in your life, but an opening to do something new, to be filled with something that builds you up and produces peace and happiness in your life instead of tears you down.
Exactly. In some areas of our life where we're trying to turn from vice toward virtue. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, this is not something that happens, you know, barring a great miracle in our lives. This is not something that happens overnight. It takes time. It takes repeated visits to the sacrament of reconciliation, repeated times where we receive God's mercy in the confessional. It's not a light switch where all of a sudden, well, we went from vice to virtue and there we are. No problem. It's all fixed. This is something that happens over time. It's a gradual process.
And that's why God gives us a whole lifetime.
A whole lifetime. And that's why the sacrament of reconciliation is not a one-time deal in our life. It's not a sacrament for those who've got it all figured out. Like, oh, I've now made a turn in my spiritual life. I'm ready to receive God's mercy. It's the mercy there to keep us going toward God. It's to make mm-hmm. us turn back. It's to bring us back to God. It's mm-hmm. to bring us back into that deeper relationship with God, depending on where we are in our spiritual life. So it's there to keep us going, to get us to help to recognize those near, help us to recognize the near occasions of sin and then to do something about mm-hmm. it. And that's the thing, recognize them and then do something different about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that we've been constantly talking about the sacrament of confession, and that's so important, that reconciliation with God, because it not only forgives us of those sins we've committed, but gives us the strength, the divine help and grace to do better. And so it's very important to stay close to that sacrament. Just as we receive the strength to live our daily Christian life through the Eucharist, we receive the strength, the grace to move towards virtue through the sacrament of reconciliation. And so to use these tools that God has given his church, he's given them for a reason, and we should use them. They're there for us.
Mm-hmm. This may be a little off topic, but I heard a beautiful way of thinking about the sacraments. Seven ways that God reaches down to humanity. So, you know, helping hands that he gives us. And you're right, the sacrament of reconciliation is just crucial. You know, it's what gives us hope, because, you know, if you try to achieve conversion of heart on your own, you fail. Mm-hmm. And eventually you give up on yourself, right? But giving up on yourself means, you know, sometimes that's a good thing, giving up on yourself, because that means that you look for help somewhere else, you know. Mm-hmm. So even if you give up on yourself, don't give up on the Lord.
Our hope is not in ourself, it's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm the parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio by Father Charles Schonk, also a vicar at St. Patrick's, and Father John Chrysostom Kozlowski, a professor of canon law. Let us end now in prayer. O light of the church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti.